prohibited cities and towns from enacting laws to protect gay and transgender people from discrimination in housing and employment.
I don't care about
what's happening is
the junior member from the House starting us off this morning. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having us today, and thanks, of course, always to our sponsors, Phillips 66.
Yeah. And a busy week for you, no doubt.
It has been a busy week. This was the deadline to hear bills in the House of Origin. Mm-hmm. And so we worked several very late nights this week in the House, and I think the Senate did as well, but I'll let the senator speak to that.
I heard something about an 11-hour or something or other, but we'll get there when we get
okay. Okay. Well, I guess we were close to 11 o'clock one night, and I don't want the listeners to feel too sorry for us, because the reason that happens is just because of the legislative process, and so it's just a couple weeks out of the year. We do have to fit as many things as we can into those last weeks. You get to appreciate the fact the floor time is precious, and one of the hardest jobs in Oklahoma politics is to be the floor leader of the respective houses, because they're the ones who get to schedule and decide which bills go when, and not knowing, of course, how long a bill might take or how much discussion it might garner. Some things you expect to bring on a lot of discussion, and some things you don't expect to bring up a lot of discussion, and they do, and then it throws off your scheduling. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what happens. We have hard deadlines to work with, and thankfully this year, this is only my third year, mm-hmm. But this year we have been more productive as a House than I've ever seen. And I'm very thankful to our leadership team for doing such a good job managing our time, because that's, of course, the time of the Oklahoma taxpayer. And so I really appreciate that. But we got some great things done this week. One of the things that I'm excited about seeing is a bit of a hard concept to explain, but it's something called a prosperity zone, mm-hmm. Our prosperity district. And we spent a little bit of time talking about it. So what it is an opportunity to have a small district in an area, at least a square mile, in which all of the landowners agree. But what can happen in that district is that you can basically set a reset button on regulations for business. Mm-hmm. And once you set that reset button, it has an effect of freezing whatever regulations are in place in that zone, in that district. And that creates an environment that's very attractive to investment from throughout the world. We've seen things like this happen, for example, in Dubai, or Hong Kong has always been known for its regulatory environment. And so this is something that we want to see to experiment with in Oklahoma, and prove to everybody that freedom actually does work in terms of that. I can't get into too many details on that because there's a lot of details that have to be filled in. Mm-hmm. But that's something exciting. We also voted and took a long time on the floor doing this to audit our Medicaid roles here in Oklahoma. And that is expected. Some calculations have that saving up to $80 million a year. Now, I think that might be a very generous calculation, but they're basing it off of the Medicaid enrollment audit that happened in Illinois. Illinois is a state that's controlled by the other party, mm-hmm. But they audited their Medicaid enrollment and saved millions and millions of dollars. And so we thought, well, let's go ahead and do that here too, make sure that we're being wise with our taxpayer resources. And so that took a lot of time on the floor, but the young representative, Representative Hall from the Edmond area, did a wonderful job presenting that. And we think we're going to save some taxpayers some money. We hope so.
Okay. Well, that's always a good goal. So we'll see how that works out. Only time, I think, will tell. But thank you. Chairman Sears, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. I'd like to concur with what Representative Dunlap just said about in regards to the flow of how things are going at the House this year. I'm just very, very pleased. I've been there more than 3 years. I'm starting my 11th year, mm-hmm. and I have never seen a more smooth-running procedure on the floor. It's not that the others were just in complete chaos. It's not that at all, but it just, for whatever reason, this particular floor leader said, we're going to start hearing bills early. And I never could figure out why we weren't listening to bills till about the 10th day. I mean, a lot of work was going on at the Capitol, but we'd go in and check in and have the reverend of the day and maybe the veteran of the day and the doctor of the day and recognize the people that were visiting the Capitol, and then we'd adjourn.
A lot of ceremonial work.
Right.
But,
and all that is very important, but I just never could figure out. I said, surely we can be doing three or four bills. I never could figure that out. Well, this floor leader said, you know, he was like me. We're not going to let this happen. And he and I had talked about that. And I said, well, John, I sure hope you can pull it off. And he has done that. So it has gone rather smooth. Let me give an update on the budget. You're hearing a lot in the paper in regards to all these cuts, closing, or specifically in our home, our backyard, is Osage Hills State Park.
And I'll use the word potential at this point.
Right, and exactly. And again, there is no question, if we did that, a 14.5% cut, that more than likely probably would happen. But I want our listeners to know that's the process, and I think I talked about this. I missed last Friday, but the Friday before I talked about that our approach is to bring in all the state agencies and let's have a conversation in regards to what ifs in regards to the ramifications to a budget cut in their state agency. And this is what's coming back. And that was just the park ones that came out. No one's trying to keep this number hid, but I read a very lengthy report from Director Lake from DHS last night. Very lengthy. I'm assuming the other two members have the same.
And we've covered that story a little bit this morning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just no question that, there's going to be some programs that would be hurt.
I think the quote was from the tragic to the unthinkable or something like that.
But what I want our listeners to know, that's all hypothetical and what ifs and what might happen, could happen if we went down that path. So to say once again, there is no question what we have to do is the easy thing to do, which would be horrendous, is just cut state government, boom, this number, all state agencies. You have that approach. I mean, we know, and quite frankly, when we put the budget together, let me make it perfectly clear, there will be some budget cuts. I just don't think it'll be 14.5. But there's the journey that we're on. We're either going to have to look at some tax-raising measures, and we've got members all over the board on that, but again, leaning more towards that they don't want to increase taxes. And there's lots of reasons, people fundamentally in their personal opinions, but also it's an uphill challenge for us in the House to get 76 votes, and I'm confident it'd be the same situation in the Senate. So you got to have a supermajority. And then the third approach is we have to look at those apportionments off the top, those tax credits, and that's not being reported on near as much as the budget cuts. Trust me, the Senate is doing a phenomenal job of reviewing those apportionments off the top and tax credits. And I can assure you, as the revenue tax chairman, that's exactly what I'm doing. In fact, when I return on Monday, I have a very in-depth report that I want to present to my committee in regards to some exemptions that we could possibly do away with, which in itself is an uphill climb, because if you take these exemptions away, trust me, somebody in the tax code is going to get hurt, okay? Mm-hmm. But just to cut government 14.5%, that's not any member's approach. I will tell you the members are saying, let's look at all of our state agencies. What can we cut? What can we reduce down? Is there a program that's still being efficient? Those conversations are going on at great length. But I also want our listeners to know what's going on at great length and discussion at great length is that reform and review of tax credits. Quite frankly, Senator Daniels and I meet probably, there's some mornings we don't see one another. Again, it's not like Senator Ford and I at 6 o'clock. Our schedule's 7 o'clock, but we faithfully meet and talk about just what I've referred to in regards to these apportionments and these tax credits. And your delegation here in Washington County is absolutely adamant of having reform in tax credits. We understand tax credits, we support tax credits, but on the same token, we're not a bit afraid to having a conversation about reform and some of them that we gave years ago, why are we still giving them? So I just want everybody to know that. You're just getting one piece of this small puzzle, so don't panic that we're going to have this 14.5% cut throughout state government.
Okay, thank you very much, and good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Charlie. It's so good to be home. I tell you, one of the things I've noticed is that when you live in that little world between where you rest your head at night and the Capitol building, you're just in a sea of of an urban area all the time, and to drive home and see things greening up and see the red buds, and it's really nice to be back where there's an horizon.
Well, you sound like Senator Ford. Happiness is the Capitol Dome in the rearview mirror.
That's right. So, and I do appreciate what Representative Sears does for me almost every morning. Now, one or two times, I'll get to the top of the stairs, and 93-year-old Mr. Duncan, who sits there with the early morning coffee, go, he not here yet. So, but that doesn't happen very often. And thanks to the very good advice and counsel that Representative Sears has given, I was heads up on something coming through the Senate, and in fact, it was to resurrect an almost sunsetted tax credit. And in the end, it was pulled because they realized there were enough of us who knew that it was intended to go bye-bye, and they were trying to bring it back. So we'll see what happens next year. In the Senate, we completed our business Thursday about 1 o'clock. To let people know, we started with 877 bills. We reported half that amount from committee, and 347 were approved to live on to the House. Many of those with the title off, which means the wording is still being worked on. I am impressed with the way the Senate gives you multiple chances to try and get a bill to where you can get a majority of people to vote for it. So we did send quite a few along that I would say need a whole lot of work. For me, I presented and passed my first two bills in the Senate. They were among a number of education measures. Mine were to do performance audits of the State Department of Education and the Department of Career and Technology, not forensic audits, but simply to look at how effectively the tax dollars are being spent and are there ways that they could do things differently to save money and that kind of thing, because money is what we're looking for now. And then we did vote on a teacher pay plan in the Senate. It would be to change the salary schedule, and obviously there was no revenue source attached to that. And of course, the question for those of us who are elected officials is, do you vote against that because you know there may not be money to fund it this year? In which case, have you voted against a teacher pay raise? Or do you vote for it and then have somebody say, well, how can you vote for something like that that doesn't have money attached to it? So I did support that bill. And we had several attempts to maximize revenue in education, study shared administrative costs, financial reporting to the local school treasurer and putting on the website so that people in local districts can be more aware of the financial situation in their own district. A task force to look at reforming the state aid formula, accountability to combat fraud in the OLAP, the Oklahoma Promise, where we give scholarships to eligible young people when they graduate from high school, all sorts of things like that, looking at way to streamline and make these programs more effective. We did a lot of criminal justice reform in the Senate, a lot of this following through from the governor's task force, but also from the people's approval of State Question 780. Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be statewide a willingness to look at criminal justice reform. So we passed, I think, a dozen measures that have to do with that. And the possibility of going to the people and saying, do you want to change the way we appoint justices in the state? We redid their districts mm-hmm. to make the population make sense for today. But do you want to do judicial appointments any differently? Do you want to do the federal process where the Senate does advice and consent? So some of those went on, and not all of those will make it through the House. But there are several balls in the air for people to consider. And then just to comment a little bit, well, let's see, I lost that train of thought. Anyway, we had a very busy week, and I was impressed by how efficiently we are doing things in the Senate. When we break from the morning session to the afternoon session, you don't leave the building and go to lunch. You go immediately into the Senate meeting room, and we've had budget meetings. This week, I made a presentation on the Office of Juvenile Affairs, along with others doing Department of Human Services agencies. Mm-hmm. Last week, we had a full hour on education, and that included the apportionment questions and the big sheet. What, there are about 67 different apportionments that are made, and the Senate's looking very, very carefully at those. And this, just then, on a personal note, when we go back to committee meetings on Monday, the chairman of general government has decided that the three freshmen on his committee need to start learning how to preside. So I'll be presiding over the general government meeting on Monday with a little cheat sheet that he's going to provide to me. So, you know, you live and you learn, and you just every day is something new. It's fascinating. It's an honor to serve. And I got to celebrate coming home last night by going to Chelsea for their Chamber of Commerce banquet and awarding their Citizen of the Year. That was great fun. And so I think Representative Sears and I will be in Ramona this evening, and tomorrow is Ulagaw. So we're going to do three chamber banquets this weekend. And that's the fun part of this job. And so we had a really good week. And next week I will start reading House bills. For everybody who wants me to vote one way or the other on a House bill, I just finished 347 Senate bills, so the House bills will start on next week.
Okay, sounds like a lot of homework for all of you concerned. I want to at least mention, and we've run the news story over the last probably half a day at least, that you three will be part of an education forum at Bartlesville High School. I believe it's April 7th, but whatever that morning is, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, it is 2 weeks from today. Yeah. I believe it starts at 7:30.
For coffee and donuts, yes,
right,
sir.
Right, right. Yeah. And they asked us several months ago, mm-hmm. and we agreed to that. And we're all looking forward to it. It's a straightforward conversation. We know that education is on everybody's mind, and so it's just the perfect timing to have that conversation. And it gives me a perfect opportunity to express to everybody, I know your concern and your frustrations and your passion for public education, and the three of us have the same, but you also got to remember, the three of us have to have that same passion and concern for public safety, healthcare authority, Department of Human Services. I mean, the 9 to 10 big agencies in this state, where 90% 90% of our money goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, their issues and concerns are just as compassionate. But again, we want a quality education. But let me also tell you, we want to make sure our prisons are run efficiently because of the public safety of our citizens. So I'll just end there. I mean, you just got to understand, it's there's more than one ball out there, but public education, no question, is the engine that drives things.
Okay, Senator.
And just one quick thing on a more local issue that Representative Sears and I are working on. We know that the road works there at Highway 75 near Eastland Center are a big problem. And we had a business owner contact us yesterday, and we're in touch with the Department of Transportation and the district engineer. I don't know if there will be anything that they can do to mitigate the difficulty, but we will be talking to them today and try our best to see if they can make the situation better for people traveling through and for the business owners.
And for the listeners that may have missed it, they thought that it was a matter of a simple rehab, but because of the underlying bridge materials not as substantial as they originally thought, it's going to take more materials, more time, and more work.
Hey, Charlie, I think we're done. Let's just simply, all three of us, greatly appreciate Phillips 66 and the sponsorship of this radio program.
Thank you very much, one and all. That's a Capital Call this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.
7 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend, Muffy, a bowl of water. And while Jim...